Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And Kate, thank you for the songs that we sang this morning. Even went into the archives and got a couple old ones, and it was anointed. Thank you. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that there is power in praise. We thank you, Lord God, for your open door policy, that we can come into your presence at any time. We ask, Lord, that as we open your word today, that it will be bread and meat, Lord God, that it would give us encouragement, and most of all, Lord God, that it would enhance our praise unto you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Magnify the Lord. You know, it's not in there, but I'm thinking that this psalm might have helped the person that penned that song, Oh, Magnify the Lord. And, you know, when we think about magnification, what comes to your mind first? Bigger. Who said that? Great. Bigger. What else?
Smaller.
That'd be demagnifying. Yeah. So you look at something really small and it opens it up. Okay. Anything else? It makes us see beyond what we see with our eyes. My grandmother, maybe you think of your grandmothers at times, but had a big magnifying glass. And it was always in the kitchen drawer. And sometimes, you know, I'm thinking about that as I see these things with fine print, and the bifocals are not getting it anymore. Where's that magnifying glass so that I could actually read, you know, especially a medication label, all right? But magnification helps us to see it better. Magnification helps us understand it better. And when we magnify, we tend to have a deeper appreciation of how and what the thing that we are magnifying is actually to do. So David insisted that despite the difficulties and the dangers of his life, his experience with God has given him something to brag about. I believe the word is in there that he would brag about God. You know, you make some people happy when you brag about God, and you make some people angry when you brag about God. Who are you that you could say such a thing? Okay? When these words were written, David was battle-worn. His appearance was marred by fatigue. His armor was dented and damaged from the rigors of battle. And yet, in spite of all that, David is now bragging on the Lord. My soul shall boast in the Lord. And if that wasn't good enough, David says that somebody else gains benefit from his spiritual experience. in our bragging and our praising, someone receives benefit. Sometimes we think it's just between me and God, or you and God, right? But the people around us begin to glean, begin to see, and begin to experience that intimacy that we have with God. He says, my soul shall boast in the Lord. And if that's not enough, he says that somebody else gains benefit from his spiritual experience. Someone is drawn closer to the Lord because of what he does and what he says. And that's the reason for the praise. So as we praise, especially, now David was not having a good day. I will tell you that. I'll let you know. Maybe in your introduction or somewhere along this psalm tells you what actually happened. And at the end of the sermon, I'll tell you. But you'll go, oh yeah, that's right. He was not having a good day. As a matter of fact, I don't think he was having a good week. Okay. And he begins to magnify the Lord, and he says, I'm going to bless the Lord all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth on a bad day. You know, it's like James when he wrote in his epistle, count it all joy when you're in diverse temptations. Just be happy. It's like, no, how can we be happy? How can we be joyful? How can we be praising God during the hard time? Why? Because he has a record with us. And we know that all things work together for those who love and serve the Lord. Okay? So, he adds, as if there was an exclamation point, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This was not during a victory. It was during a defeat. David is not only trying to show us why to praise, but also how to praise. He's saying that praise is designed to magnify and not to minimize. Oh, oftentimes in our times of trouble, we begin to minimize God. And we know that God never changes. Amen. He's always the great I am. He's always the one that brings victory. We serve the God that created the universe by speaking, by his word, the creator that set the sun for the light of the day and the moon as the light in the night. How do you magnify that? And David's talking about a God that created the heavens and the earth and set them in rotation so that we could have day and night, seasons. And boy, we live in such a place that we have four distinct seasons. I was watching a little video last night, and it was a husband and wife. They were moving from South Carolina to Alaska, 5,000 miles in a camper with, I think, 3 or 4 kids. And two of them were in diapers. I'm thinking, wow, these people are crazy. And in that little documentary, the mother has the children in her vehicle, and her husband is pulling the trailer ahead of them on the Alaskan highway, and she says, "Okay, kids, we're in the place now that we'll no longer have to deal with the heat of South Carolina." And I thought, "Oh boy." They are not going to see two seasons. They're going to probably see 1.5 seasons. Okay? And it's 90% winter and 10% summer. Okay? But we live in such a place that we have four distinct seasons. We experience the bitter cold of winter for 2 weeks or so, maybe a month. When we have summer for about a month, and then we have those two glorious seasons in between, you know, spring and fall. And that's what we can brag about, right? Is spring and fall. But anyway, this is the work of the Lord. You know, this is David knew who he was worshiping. This is the God that picked up a lump of dirt and began to mold it. And then breathed into it, and life came into dirt, and he called this man. And when we look through the magnifying glass, it doesn't change what it looks like. It looks bigger and clearer. But it doesn't change the outward appearance. My first dealings with a magnifying glass is my other grandmother tried to get me into stamp collecting as an 8-year-old boy. And she worked in a convalescent home, and some of the patients, they came from, you know, their ancestors were still in other countries, in Europe mostly. And I remember getting a lot of European stamps, you know. And when I went to school and said, oh, I got stamps from Germany and Italy and Poland and all that, the couple of other guys that were collecting stamps, oh, they wanted those stamps. It's hard to get, or harder for us to get. But anyway, I had to look through that magnifying glass to see what the stamp was really all about. And then we get to high school, and then we pull out the electron microscope. Well, I think that's what it was, right? And we just look at something that you can't see with the bare eye, and then all of a sudden, it's got a little tail and it's moving, all right? Out of a little drop of water, etc. But anyway, what changes is when we look through a microscope or to something that's magnified, what changes is our perception. It begins to change our understanding, our appreciation. When we magnify something, I could see it better, I could understand it better. When I magnify, I have a deeper appreciation for how and what it does. So when we magnify the Lord, we don't change the Lord. We can't make God any bigger than he already is.
Amen.
But we can make him bigger in our heart.
Amen.
And in our mind. God is great and greatly to be praised. Okay, we can't change him because the scripture tells us that he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what we do change is how we see or how we view him. So we're going to look at a couple of things today on this. And David, here he is beat up. He's near defeat. And he begins to, I'm not going to tell you, he begins to sing this song, because I don't know if he sang the song after the incident or during the incident. I don't know if at the time when he was set free, so to speak, that he went and penned this, or that during his time of trouble he began to sing of this. But it was a purposeful praise. And see, just like our prayer life, we are taught to be specific, purposeful. Be specific in your prayer. One of my first times that I was rebuked by the Lord. I'll say it was a rebuke. It was a light rebuke. Okay, it was my little attention getter. When the Lord said, are you sure? I was in prayer, and I was praying for something. He goes, are you sure that's what you want? Are you sure? And I don't quite remember in the tone, but I think it was like, are you sure? You know, are you sure this is what you want? Be specific. You know, David was purposeful. He says that he will bless the Lord continually. All times. You know, the People in the world think that we're just kind of lulu, crazy, because we do such a thing. You know, we should have T-shirts that say, if you find me talking to myself, I'm talking to my boss. You know, I'm a stay-at-home worker, and I'm talking to my boss. And then in the fine print, and my boss is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because worship and praise is about talking, expressing what we're feeling at that time. I will bless him continually. I bless him all times. His praise will be in my mouth. I will bless him inwardly. My soul shall boast to the Lord. I will bless him unashamedly. Now, I know David doesn't say that, but he says, the humble shall hear and be glad. So, you know, there's always somebody around. When new people come into the church, especially in bigger, you know, with more people. I remember the first time we went to an outdoor festival, like a weekend. I think it was called Fishnet. And thousands of people were there. I don't know if there was 5 or 10,000, but when we got to the big field where it was a slope, and it became dark, and we had a candle that they handed everybody, and when the candle was lit, it's the whole thing. It was like, wow, it's the first big audience of Christian audience that it was. Then you go to a church with 2,000 or 3,000 people and they're singing and worshiping. Guess what? Everybody doesn't come in singing and worshiping. But we know the power of worship for those that are struggling. Come in and experience the praise of his people. That's why church services are set around praise and worship, because it moves and changes people. Some want us to shut up, but our praise was not meant for the proud, because when the humble hear it, they will be glad. David was saying, I'm going to bless the Lord wherever and no matter what is happening, no matter how dark, I will bless the Lord. See, in poverty or in plenty. And the Apostle Paul tells us the same thing, that I can worship, I can trust, I know that God is always near, whether I am in need or whether I am in blessing. He says, David says, I will bless the Lord all times. No matter what, I'm going to give God glory. That is number one. Number two is there's some passionate exhortation. And in verse 3, he's like, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's make the Lord really big in this situation. We're going through a defeat, or we've been defeated. The enemy is up against us, but let's magnify the Lord and ascribe to him the greatness that he is. When you magnify the Lord, you will come to realize that whatever it is that happens in our life does not happen because of chance, but because you were in the right place at the right time. See, the world says those things, right? Oh, it's just by chance that this happened, or I was in the right place at the right time. No, we say it happened because God is in control, because God loves me, and we could magnify the Lord and know that God did it. I am here because God brought me to this place. You know, the house that we live in, God did it. The car that we drive, Howard, God did it. Right? The salary that we make, God provided it. How about the promotions and the positions? God did it. See, everything, exactly, everything he gives. And David is bringing this forth. Oh, magnify how good God is. Not how good he has been And not how good he's going to be, but how good he is, because he never changes. And when we enter into a tough situation, or when we find ourselves in a tough situation, it's not, well, I remember. No, I know that God is able. I know that he sees all, that he knows all. And I will magnify his name. I will magnify the work that he's already begun in my life. David wants us to stop looking at God through lenses that minimize him, as I said earlier, and to magnify his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. If there's anything to boast about, it's not about our individual accomplishments or abilities. It's in the Lord. Yes. You know, as I said earlier, my testimony is, you know, a lot of it has to do with all this medical stuff. And after the knee replacement, we were, you know, we were just delighted. And I'm talking we, Lori and I, and, you know, maybe some of our friends that understood stuff. But we were delighted. And then I get this phone call from the pharmaceutical company. And they were wondering if I was going to go to this little conference. And I said, yeah, I am. It's in Massachusetts, and I planned on going. And I'm at the registration table. And this woman walks up to me, and she says, oh, I'm so glad you're here, something to that effect. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't know who you are, but, you know, I'm really like nobody. And this woman, you know, she like followed me throughout the day, and come to find out that she was high up in this pharmaceutical company. And she, you know, she was just like, oh, you know, you look great, and I'm glad that you're recovering. And long story short is they hired me to go to these conferences and give a little testimony about my knee replacement. It was good, okay? Not saying that, you know, the 10 weeks that it took before I could really start walking, I did have a couple of incidences where the physical therapist was a little too rough, okay? But I began to do this dog and pony show. And finally, it was like they're telling me that and they didn't literally say this, but they were saying, look, we're paying you to tell about the product, not about God.
Sorry, I was going to say, you called it a testimony.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this is the major part of it, which was the truth. It was the truth. And even in the physical, it was the truth, because God began to open doors, okay? And for those that have been around for a few years, you know that it was more than 12 years ago, because we lived at the other house. And this guy that I met, he says to me, look, I'm a Christian. How come I'm not like you? Now, how do you answer that? I believe in Jesus, and how come you... You know, the story was that he had a hip replacement that had to be, it did not heal properly. It got infected. He was in the hospital for a long time, and things just didn't work out. I'm in the hospital for the minimal amount of days, or the average amount of days, and then go home and do all my therapy at home, and yet he had to be in the hospital for weeks upon weeks. And we're sitting there at breakfast. How do I answer that? God is sovereign. But I do know, after becoming friends, he came and lived in our house for a few days. I believe Lori realized that God is good to us. You remember that weekend, Lori? Yes. She said that Becky and her were both taking care of him because he was falling apart. He had to have extra medication FedExed to our house. We didn't see him for like 2 days. locked into the bedroom because he was bleeding internally so bad. And wants to know why. Is it because of my minimal amount or ability to praise God? I sang this little song this morning, and someone said, why aren't you up there in the music ministry? Because I wouldn't last much. You guys would throw me out of the place. Please, I understand my position in praise and worship. It's in my closet. Amen. Where only God hears me, and He loves my praise and worship. Even though I can't carry a tune in a basket, right? I know my position. Just listen and don't sing too loud when others are singing. I could be great in a choir of 1,000, okay? But I'm not great in a small group. So, passionate praise. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. I'm sorry, James, but I don't have very many scripture verses today, but they need to see this one. You know it. Some of you know it. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that understand, that he understand and knoweth me. That he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Okay? Are you going to glory? You glory in this, that you understand and knoweth me. And how do we understand and knoweth him? By magnifying him. Put God under the magnifying glass. Ooh. And what are we going to see when we put God under the magnifying glass?
See him as he
really is. Really has. And what is he?
Perfection.
What else is he? Love. What else? He's just. He's truth. Oh my goodness. See, when we put him, when we begin to understand him, he's long-suffering. He's gentle. He's meek. And then all of a sudden, we can glorify him in knowing all the good things about him.
He's the only perfect person.
The only perfect. See, oh, magnify the Lord. Let's look at his heart. And we begin to understand that, oh my goodness, his heart is, when I was at my worst, he loved me the same as he loves me at my best. He rewarded me when I diligently sought after him. He met me. Now, you know, we're like the prodigal son, and sometimes we think that, you know, he's, you know, we're doing something great. Oh, the prodigal son is coming back to the father. But who was doing the greatest act that day? It was the father waiting for him, running towards him. You're home, you're home. Oh, Dad, wait, let me clean up. No, there's no reason to clean up. I know your heart. Passionately. But he says, glorify in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's something to praise him about. Praise him because when I can praise him because, Lord, I know when I have a need. You are able and willing with wanting to fulfill that need. I understand. Your loving kindness. In verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. From all my fears. So what was happening to David at this point? Why did he do this psalm? Nobody has? Yeah. See, you have to have a good Bible, because my Bible says it's a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Amalek, who drove him away, and he departed. He was in the Philistine camp, running from Saul. He's battle weary, okay? He's been beat up. He is about ready to be captive, taken captive by the enemy. And he's in the Philistine camp. He's at the city gate. And they're getting ready to take him probably to the king, and he would be executed. But we know God said that you're going to be king, David. Right?
Amen.
See, when God tells us that we're going to be somebody or do something, right? I'm gonna do great and mighty things before you. And then there's times that in our time of prayer, he tells us what he expects from us or what he wants from us. And then all of a sudden we start trying to go that way and things fall apart. Let me see, that happened with Joseph. It happened with David. It happened with Moses. Oh, do we have enough time to go through the Bible? Of all the people. And David now is probably wondering, wait, God, you told me you came, anointed me. Samuel came and anointed me and said, I'm going to be the next king. And Samuel wasn't a five and dime prophet.
Right.
He was the prophet. Ooh. See, the enemy knows what God has called us to be. The enemy wants to stop. It may be a closet warrior. It may be a street evangelist. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be a pastor. It may be something. And that's why the Apostle Paul had such problems in his life, because the call of God was upon him. And Satan tried in every which way to prevent him from going to the king, or to evangelize the world, the known world at that time. And David, I believe that David is beginning to understand this. And this is not in the scriptures. It's out there on the limb, but I'm going to say it. David, I think David asked the Lord, what do I do? I'm surrounded. I'm about ready to be taken out. And I know that you're the Most High God. I know that your hand has been upon me. And I know the calling on my life. And just, I mean, it could be a 1% chance. God says, just act like you're crazy. Start mumbling and drooling and babbling and all this. I don't know. But I do know that David was a man after God's own heart. He sought God continually. And I don't think at this point he says, well, I'm going to give up on calling upon you, Lord, depending upon you, and I'm going to do this on my own. No, I think that crazy. It's crazy. But they saw him, and he's gone mad. Maybe the devil says, oh, I got him. He's depressed, he's gone mad, and he'll never become king. Maybe that was another. But there was victory. There was victory. Why? I believe because he called upon the Lord. I'll do this one thing. I sought the Lord. This is in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. At the time when maybe there was a sword at his throat. Who knows? Because they don't tell us all the stuff. There's a lot of white left on the page. Now, if it was a journalist today, oh, they would tell us what the temperature was, what the seething, what the enemy was seething out, all this kind of stuff. But no, all we know is that I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. I sought the Lord. I asked the Lord, maybe for something specific. Are you sure you want this? Are you sure this is it? And sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no. Samuel, 1 Samuel 21 is the historical context at that. David was literally fearing for his life, living on the run from Saul, King Saul, and David sought refuge and realized who he was, and then he pretended to be insane. David panicked, possibly, fearing the worst from the king of Gath, so he pretended to go crazy, pounding his head on the city gate and foaming at the mouth, saliva dripping from his beard. But David was able to escape. And we know the enemy wanted to take him out. Saul wanted to. The enemy wanted to. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. You know, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Isaiah wrote, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." That's something to praise about.
Amen.
I am with you. The Apostle Paul says it a little bit different to the Philippian church. She says, you know, I could do all things. Or, fear not, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? That's something to praise him about, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Can we be like David? I'll bless you. I'll bless you when I understand and when I don't. I bless you when I know what's going on and times when I don't know what's going on. I bless you when the answer comes quickly, and I will bless you in the time of waiting for that answer. I will bless you at all times. I will bless you at all times.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we know you. We understand you, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that you a lot of times are a right-on-time God. The last minute. The time, Lord God, when it seems like everything is falling apart. But we know, Lord God, those that wait upon the Lord are renewed. Oh, Father, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, that not only would we be a people of prayer, but we would be a people of praise, that our praise would continually be upon our lips from our heart, that mountains would be moved, the enemy would be defeated, and most of all, that you would be glorified. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.